Writer Paul Willetts was browsing the National Archives database when he struck gold. Raymond, or Raj Tawana, alias Edgar LaPlante, alias Chief White Elk, American International Swindler, read the title of a police file. The author had been hoping to find inspiration for his next book, and he had. He travelled down to Kew to read the physical documents and realised it was one of those rich stories you couldn't make up if you tried. It was, for colour and quirkiness, 24-carat gold. It was like love at first sight, Paul confesses. Here was the tale of a teenage trickster who grew into a con man, prepared to dupe thousands on both sides of the Atlantic by pretending to be Chief White Elk, leader of the Canadian Cherokee. For years, he enjoyed an existence that was a cross between the Great Gatsby, full of excess, and Robin Hood. For in Italy, after beguiling a countess into bankrolling him, he gave away millions of dollars to poorer folk, handling over wads of high-denomination notes to the crowds that followed him. Newspapers from around the world hung on his every word. It was all lies and fantasy, and eventually Edgar LaPlante had to face the music. Not that it entirely stopped and shamed him. At one point he posed as a famous athlete on his way to the 1932 Olympics in Los Angeles, raising money en route. I wonder where they went. No wonder Paul's telling of this fantastic story has found an audience in America and earned a review in the Washington Post. What he gets involved in as an imposter is not really about money, it's about attention, he reckons. Edgar is a white working-class guy, born in Rhode Island. At 14, he's conning shops out of small change, which he gives to his dad, before a spell in reform school. At Coney Island, home of the Brooklyn amusement parks, he works as a ballyhoo man in his 20s. Standing on a platform, dressed as a Native American, and probably using his great singing voice to coax passers-by, who might then buy tickets for a circus. There's a fascination which Native Americans, through vaudeville, through the Wild West shows, through novels, through early cinema, which primes the audience for the con Edgar LaPlante will later pull. He gets obsessed with Native Americans, says Paul. There are some years of grind on the vaudeville and medicinal show circuits, and then in the autumn of 1917, the bravura performance that would earn him worldwide fame, for Edgar LaPlante reinvents himself as Chief White Elk, a civil rights campaigner and war hero from Canada, complete with feathered headdress, leader of the Cherokee Nation. People are told, it's all hooey. He's got so much charm and charisma, and he's a good-looking guy, and within a week of rolling up in Salt Lake City in the spring of 1918, he's met a genuine Native American. They've decided to marry, and the governor of Utah and the mayor of Salt Lake City have become pally with him and have thrown open the state capital for the wedding, says Paul, who's lived in Norwich since 1982. They get married in front of 5,000 people with full military honours, and he carries on like this. It's a story of escalation. On through the US drift the couple, ostensibly raising money for struggling Native American reservations. If anyone has suspicions, the era's communications makes it hard to share doubts and track his route. If people start to smell a rat, he can just move on and pull his shtick somewhere else. Later, in 1922, things are getting a bit hot. He separates from the self-styled Princess White Elk, travels to England to present the case for the Cherokee, and almost secures an audience with King George V. The Daily Mail's keen nose knows something's dodgy, but doesn't quite get it right, suggesting he's a fake Canadian rather than a fraudulent chieftain. Still, it's enough to block access to the monarch. Edgar acquires a new bigamous bride, a single mother from Manchester with a son on whom he dotes. Via a stop in the decadent nightclubs of Paris and onto the French Riviera, where he charms a vastly wealthy Austrian countess into funding a royal tour of Italy, on the back of some nonsense about revenues to come from oil-rich land he owns. In Italy, police set up cordons as crowds mill outside his hotels. He starts giving out money to the crowd. He just thinks, oh, poverty-stricken Italians. In the course of a few months, he could have got through. It's tricky to work out comparative values in currency. As much as $58.9 million in 2018 figures. Chief White Elk is losing the plot fast. He's been a hard drinker, probably alcoholic, and a cocaine and morphine addict by now, seeding his delusions of grandeur. All through the adulation and largesse, its proto-rock and roll, almost elk mania, makes him a friend of Benito Mussolini's fascist regime too, which showers him with awards. When there's no sign of the oil money, the Countess's family grows increasingly suspicious and her stepdaughter travels to England to establish he's a fraud. The con man is eventually arrested in Switzerland. He stands trial in 1925 and serves time there. He's passed to Italy and given a longer sentence. Released in 1929, he's deported to America and has to work his passage as a ship steward. Edgar tells the press waiting in New York that he's a reformed character, aims to live an ordinary life and get a job in a factory. That's not going to happen. He gets back to his old ways. At one point, he reinvents himself as an Inuit. And there's the famous athlete lie too. More bizarrely, there are even other imposters purporting to be Chief White Elk. Gradually, the con man who adored attention is forgotten. The fantasist who'd spun a web of deceit died in almost total obscurity in 1944, ravaged by drugs and booze. His legend disappeared into the shadows, really. Paul can't help having a degree of admiration for the fake Cherokee with an off-centre personality. He clearly didn't do remorse and was just unstoppable. There's something appealing about the Robin Hood element in that he wasn't doing it, like a classic con man, for selfish purposes. King Kong, The Bizarre Adventures of the Jazz Age's Greatest Imposter, is published by Crown Archetype at priced £18.99.